This is the Porter Pickups Tonecast, Episode 8. Today we'll be talking about our gear and our setup for the podcast, as well as some of what we use for video and audio demos. We'll also be talking with Jack Fawcett, a YouTube demoer, about his audio setup and more of what makes a good demo. All right, welcome to Tonecast number 8. Hello, everyone, and I've got Derek with me.
Hey, hey, hey. I'm here. It's happening. Tonecast number 8. Well, today is going to be a really fun Tonecast. We're talking about our recording gear, some of the setup we use for our podcast. We'll also get to do an interview with a YouTube demoer that we're excited to talk to about how he does things. So right up front, I kind of wanted to walk through what we're doing right now for our podcast setup. We use two Cascade M20Us for Brian and I's voices. Nice large diaphragm condensers that get all the nice vocal out of us, you know, because we have such rich voices anyways. We needed something that was really awesome to pick them up, right?
Of course.
From there, we're moving straight into our Apollo Twin interface, which is going to our Mac Mini. And we're running Logic Pro X to edit everything, do all that kind of stuff. When it comes to any of our interviews, we use Skype for all of our calls, and we just have a call recorder. So we just use that, and it's nice. It separates our voice and their voice out for me later so I can mix it independently, which is always helpful. As far as post-show editing and stuff, we try to keep it as live as possible, but there's always mistakes and screw-ups and stuff, so we try to keep that to a minimal, but I do kind of edit out, you know, Brian's burps and belches, which, you know.
Of course. You have to get rid of those.
Yeah.
Which is most of your editing time.
Yeah. Hours a day, actually. It's almost a full-time job, but no, not quite.
Yeah. So we first started thinking about the Tonecast. We tried to, you know, make a list of what we needed. And then you start researching all these different options for podcasting, and it gets overwhelming. There's these really fancy setups. There's very simple setups. So we tried to kind of mix some of those ideas. And even now we're on show 8 and we've added some different pieces of gear along the way. You know, we ran into some issues with inputs, and so we had to get a mixer board to control inputs, you know, for interviews and things like that. So we're constantly evolving. Maybe we'll put something on the podcast extra about our signal chain, and maybe we can write it out or take a little picture of it. I mean, totally. It's kind of a mess here in the studio today, but we'll make it work. Initially, when we were planning this show, we were talking a lot about, you know, covering some things about audio and video demos, and then we started like planning the show, and it started becoming this massive topic. So I think today we're going to kind of rip through a little bit, you know, talking about our signals, talking about how we record video demos, audio demos, and then maybe we'll do more in-depth shows down the road and cover those topics maybe more, you know, more in detail. So when we record like an audio demo, we have a 2-mic setup. We use one of these Cascade M20Us as a room mic. And then we've got the Cascade Fathead 2 that's on whatever cab that we're recording. So one of the things that we've found is we've tried to capture as real of a guitar sound as we can. Used to be kind of the classic just 57 on the cab, and we found that it would be missing some of the highs or some of the lows that you would hear. If you go into a guitar store and you hear an amp and you're like, man, I like that, your point of reference is different than maybe what it would be in the studio. And so what we tried to do is find the best of both worlds, where we have a room mic that kind of captures sort of the liveness of what you hear as in a guitar amp and the tone. And then we have the Fathead 2, which is really great for the low end, and kind of like the bigger tones of what we're trying to record. And so it's worked out pretty well. I really am happy with a lot of our audio recordings because it really does sound exactly like if you play it in here on the studio monitors and you go around the corner to the gear room, it sounds exactly the same. And so that's really what we're trying to communicate when we do the pickups. We don't do a lot of editing to the signal, but we capture it from a couple of different places to give us, you know, as accurate of a representation as we can. So we'll probably get into more detail about specifically where we place mics and all that stuff. We do have our room mics kind of at, ear level, sitting down on a stool, and then we're about 6 inches from the cab on our cab mic, which is the Fathead too.
Yeah, and mixing wise, I mix pretty heavily actually on the room mic, and then I just kind of use that cab mic to maybe fill in a little bit if it doesn't feel quite right yet. But honestly, the room mic is great because it really does give you kind of, I mean, you're right. When you're sitting on that stool, it's hard to tell a difference, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's great. And then so when we make YouTube videos, some of our more recent ones, you know, the older ones are definitely a lot more crude and archaic in terms of that. But some of the newer ones, they definitely we record all the audio separately with the same setup, and then we have the video at the same time, and we sync them in post editing.
Yeah.
And so that gives us the audio we like, and it gives us the video we like, and then we put them together, and then at times it gets squashed by YouTube or someone listens on
wonderful
iPhone speakers or something, and all that work may go out the window. But we capture as best of a sound we can.
It's true.
Before we do that. So we have a lot in our show today. So we're going to try to move through some of these topics pretty quick because we still have to get to our interview with Jack. But I thought we would bring something in to this podcast, maybe. our podcast intro, our guest today is Jack Fawcett, and he recorded the intro that you hear to our podcast. So every time you hear that, that's Jack playing through our pickups, and he sent us that sound clip, and it just kind of felt like a good song to use for...
It did feel good.
Yeah, felt like a good song to use for this podcast. But after last show, Derek and I were talking, and we were thinking, man, what if we did our own live version of the podcast song? Maybe bring some acoustics in and kind of, I don't know if we want to do lyrics or not, but what do you think about that as an idea?
I feel like lyrics would get a little out of control, honestly. I don't know, but it sounds like a dangerous concept to me. But I'm thinking if we're going to go live, it's just got to be like the two of us across the table from each other right here, just like playing the podcast theme song while we intro. Can you maybe do an intro while you're playing the song?
Oh, I don't think I can do that because that's the part of the problem is that if I do too many technical things and try to talk or sing, especially talk, if you try to do monotone and you're playing notes in the background, like I don't think I can do it. But
I think it'd be a fun experiment.
We should give it a try sometime. So if you guys want to go encourage us to do that, maybe you could go to the podcast page.
Maybe someone has some inspired Porter Pickups lyrics out there that they've, you know, kept in that just, you know, that rough notebook that's been around the world a few times. And, you know, they bought a set of pickups and it just inspired them to write these lyrics. We need those lyrics now. We need a podcast song.
That's good. Yeah. And we'll get to the interview with Jack and we'll ask him that question if we can use his song and completely butcher it. It's not very long too. So, you know, if we come up with lyrics, we don't have to come up with that much stuff. You know, it's 20 seconds or whatever. So that's really, you know, that's us after the show, letting you guys know, again, more inside of what we do. We finished the show with Hank and Rattlesnake Cables, and we're like, we should do our own podcast song. So I think
it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think by the time, you know, now we're 8 shows in or whatever, we're kind of either running out of ideas or we're just like slowly losing it. So
I want to say we're getting into the groove, you know, we're just starting to really feel it a little more. So, but definitely. Well, speaking of Jack and some of the stuff he's done, we're lucky to have a great conversation with him this week. So let's move right over to that.
All right. So thanks for coming on, Jack. We've had quite a range of topics on the show today, and we recorded some of this stuff, you know, before this conversation with you. So, nothing too, you know, we didn't say anything too bad about you or anything like that, but we wanted to make sure that we talked a little bit about video and audio setups and YouTubes and things like that. So we wanted to bring someone on that is in the demo world and kind of get an idea of some things that they do for their setup. So we're going to cover a bunch of topics in rapid fashion. So you ready?
Nope.
You're not perfect. Ready. Okay.
Oh, I'm not.
This is going.
I got stalled up because I thought we were doing Skype video. It turns out it's Skype audio, and I just wasted all that makeup.
Didn't even look at the script once.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. We don't do video for good reasons. So I'm sorry that you spent all that time getting getting ready, but you know, we'll just do audio because
swear to God, I'm going to sell all your pickups and get GFS instead.
Okay. Oh. Well, this is starting off great.
Man. Well, let's go on to our first little section. Yeah. Jack, why don't you tell us just a little bit about how you kind of got into guitar, maybe a story or inspiration that started you off?
Yeah, sure. I actually didn't start playing guitar until college, believe it or not. It almost sounds kind of hokey, so bear with me. But I almost felt like you guys will probably be able to relate to this being guitar players. But, you know, when I was growing up, I was always very sort of, for lack of a better phrase, turned on by guitar music. You know, like whenever there was a guitar song, it sort of just resonated with me. And when I got to college, believe it or not, I had spent 17 years of my life without ever hearing Hotel California. And I heard that song and it was almost like it was calling to me in a weird way. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was like starting to fantasize about playing guitar and being, cause there were guys in the dorms and things who played and, you know, I thought it looked pretty cool. And my folks got me one for Christmas that year. It was just a really cheap, like eBay $10 plywood acoustic guitar. And I just latched onto it. Cause I also didn't, the other side to that was I didn't play video games and I had played video games in high school. So I didn't really have any hobbies or anything. So like while all the other guys were around, you know, playing these multiplayer games and everything, I was just sitting there playing guitar the whole time and driving everyone crazy. But it like, it, as soon as I latched onto it, it was like I had found an old friend almost.
Nice.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's good. Cause we kind of almost with every single guest that we've had, that's been like one of our main questions. Cause we're really interested in the inspiration part of it and kind of how you got started, because for each of us, I mean, Derek and I, you know, would have never met. I would have never started Porter Pickups if I wasn't obsessed with guitar, into guitar. And so it's right. Funny. It's funny how, you know, that song or whatever it is, it starts you down that path. And here you are making video demos and writing songs and all that stuff. And, you know, it's pretty cool to see. And one of the things that, you know, it interested us in bringing you on is that, you know, you do a lot of stuff via YouTube and you make music videos and you've done sound clips and recordings and stuff for us. I'm curious a little bit more. We went through earlier in the show, we went through our technical side of, you know, our podcast, kind of the back end equipment and things like that. And so if you could cover a little bit maybe about your setup for when you make a YouTube video, maybe walk us through technically kind of the chain of equipment and how you do it pre and post and all that.
Sure. I use a combination of gear kind of depending on the video, but it comes down to the combination of things I use. I use a Canon T5, which gets some great video. I also use an iPad, and I use a combination of things to get the audio. I have always used Presonus gear for audio interfaces because they're just – I'm not getting paid to say this in any way, by the way, but they're just like a great company. They make really good, high quality audio gear, for, you know, a more pedestrian price. And so I've always used their stuff to be able to multi-track audio. And I've just been thrilled with the results. And everything that I do, to edit is all with Apple. So I use Logic, Pro for audio. Believe it or not, I do the video editing in iMovie. And I've thought about upgrading many times, but I don't do an awful lot of really fancy, video effects. I try and keep them pretty straightforward. And for that type of application, I haven't needed anything more.
Nice. So Jack, what kind of mics are you using on your amps?
I usually, for video demos, I dual mic them in stereo and I use a Shure SM57, which is, you know, it's always kind of the old faithful. And I've also used blue microphones a lot, various types. And right now I've settled on one SM57 and one blue Encore 100i, which is kind of like a 57, but a little bit different. So essentially I've got two tracks of audio, that are very, very similar. And they're, you know, they're hard panned either way in stereo. And but it just kind of, I find it gives it a little bit more dimension than just single miking it.
Gotcha. And when you're placing those mics, do you try to keep them kind of in the same kind of relative place on the speaker? Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually very particular about that. I think probably a lot of, you know, a lot of audio people are, but yeah. I really like, you know, if I'm for a 57 and of course, or, you know, any type of mic like that, as opposed to a, you know, a condenser or a ribbon or something, I really like it slightly off center and slightly angled. I find that's where you get the best tone, where you get kind of, you know, you get a nice, crispness, a nice bite, but it's not just this shrill, straightforward sound. I tend to like mellow, slightly mellower sounds with guitar. Actually, for years I've used Elixir strings, and I know that that's kind of like the miracle whip of, you know, the people either love them or they hate them, but, they have this kind of soft sound, and it's the same thing. I shy away from really, really shrill top end.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's awesome. 'Cause that's definitely a really different setup than what we use microphone wise, but it just kind of goes to show there's a lot of ways to make it work, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly plenty of wrong answers, but there's not necessarily a right answer. It's just one of the things that I always have to tell myself, you know, because it's easy to get caught up in, you know, in forum stuff, and when you're trying to get advice on how to get a good sound, that it's hard to always remind yourself, like, if it sounds good, it is good. That's the whole point. We're trying to make good sounding audio and, you know, good sounding music, and if you like the way it sounds, then it just, you know, you always want to get better, but that's as good as it gets. So
yeah, definitely. Totally. So I got a couple of questions for you real quick. How long have you been doing YouTube demos?
I've done YouTube videos for a long time. Actually, in fact, I've done YouTube videos almost as long as YouTube has existed. Unfortunately for me, I didn't have any direction with it at first. I used to be one of those guys who just did like a webcam video in my apartment. And early on, it was, you know, I had some of those videos get like 80,000 views and things that were just like me in my apartment. And I was thinking back, I wish I had had better direction earlier on. As far as structured video demos, I've done them for a little over 2 years, so really not that long. But the guitar videos have gone back a lot further.
Yeah, definitely. I've
deleted all the bad ones.
Yeah, we're in that process too, kind of like the original, like, Porter pickups videos are being phased out, shall you
being
say.
Recycled.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys do this, but I have this thing where I tend to be so forward thinking with it that the downside of that is I always look back at my old work and I'm just like, God, don't look at that. That's horrible. I never should have done that. And it's not necessarily horrible. I'm just so focused on what I'm doing now.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm curious too, in addition, like, you've done obviously a lot of pickup demos for us, and what are some of the, you work with a lot of pedal companies, what are some of the companies that you have done demos for that make pedals?
Well, there have been an awful lot, so in order to not exclude, because many of them are great guys too, and I'd love to give you the whole list of everyone, but I'll probably just stick to the ones that I've worked regularly with. The one that I've worked, or the two that I've worked the most with, and actually one of them was the one that really got me into video demoing, was Vic Audio. He's a one-man operation out of Arizona who makes, you know, awesome pedals. And it's kind of refreshing too, because he's a, you know, he's a great guy who makes great pedals, but he's totally happy with where his company is. You know, he could build it and really, you know, make a push at being one of the big pedal builders, but he doesn't even want the red tape of another employee. So, he's, you know, he makes good pedals. He's happy with what he's doing. He was the first one I did video demos for, and he stuck with me when my early demos were, you know, really not that good. So, it was really a blessing to be able to find him and work for him. The other two companies that I've worked most closely with are Keeley Electronics, who, you know, they probably need no more introduction than I could give them on here. They're pretty well known. And they're just a blast to work with, because, you know, they're all good guys, and they come up with really, really fun, creative, and usable pedals. And they come out with, just silly numbers of pedals, you know, in the past like couple of years. And the other guys that I work with are McCaffrey Audio a lot, who are from Wisconsin, and they're really good guys and make good pedals. I've gone to some NAMM shows with them. I went to a NAMM show with Keeley. And there's, you know, like I said, there's a whole slew of companies that I've done a lot of work for, but I'll stick to those three because they're the ones that I've worked with the most consistently.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, so many pedals, so much gear demoed. Is there anything out there that really has just kind of caught your ear as one of your favorite pieces of gear that you just can't let go of or anything like that?
Well, it's funny because, for as many pedals and things as I've gotten to try, I'm primarily a classic rock, blues rock type player. I mean, you guys, you know, you got, obviously I've done a lot of demos for you, so you guys know kind of my playing style and everything. And I see, you know, on Instagram and things, I see these people with these just enormous boards. And, you know, for all the pedals that I have acquired and everything, believe it or not, a lot of times when I go out to play, I still boil down to a good overdrive and some type of either reverb or delay. And that's about it. I tend to be very simple about it. And some of the best overdrives I've played are still ones that somebody built off of like the design of a Tube Screamer or something like that, you know. Not just like a clone by any stretch of the word, but you know, it's kind of like when you're, it's similar to when you're writing a song, you know, it's like you start with something, you know, another song that you've heard that moves you and kind of build off of that. And I think it's similar with the pedals and things.
Nice. And so obviously you've done quite a bit of pickup demos for us. And so kind of continuing on with that question, do you have a favorite pickup set from us that you've gotten to demo?
I don't know that I have a favorite. There are some that have really stood out to me. And Brian, you and I have Facebook chatted about this before, but I think one of the things that also stands out is figuring out what's the best guitar for them to go into and also what's the best amplifier that they work with, you know, because it's frequently not just a one size fits all. You know, some of my favorite sounds work with like a guitar into an amp with a pedal setup, but it doesn't necessarily sound as good in another set. It doesn't sound bad. I don't want to come across that way. But, you know, like, for instance, believe it or not, one of my favorite sets of your pickups are the Clear Humbuckers, which are ceramic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ceramic bandings.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. You know, I never in a million years thought that I'd like a set of ceramic humbuckers as much as I like, you know, a PAF-type set. I think you always have to be open. But I have that Clear set in one of my SGs, and that into a Marshall Bluesbreaker amp, man, that's just such a great sound that I didn't expect.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, like the Anthems are fantastic. I have multiple sets of Anthems, one in a 335 and a set of three in my SG Custom. And the Blenders are great. I have those in a Les Paul. And so it's just kind of, you know, I've liked them all. Those are the ones that have really stood out to me in certain setups. The Blenders into my Fender Bassman sound amazing. So it's always kind of finding the right combination there.
Yeah. It's funny how you mentioned the different amps and different guitars, and we're kind of that way with the shop is when we're setting out to do our own sound clips and demos. You know, I've got, you know, certain pickup combinations that we'll play through a certain amp and we're like, this sounds fine, but it actually sounds a little better in this amp and this configuration.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, even like, you know, guitar to guitar, how much that will change. You know, if it's a, you know, you've got three different Tellys and, you know, one pickup set might really shine in them, whereas in another pickup set may not be as, you know, as good, or just depending on how bright the guitar is or how, you know,
sure,
flat, yeah, it sounds. Yeah.
Playing this many different sets of pickups has really reaffirmed to me that each guitar kind of has its own sound. And I actually thought of this, it's kind of a silly analogy, but you know, probably many of the people who are listening, and I know you guys will be able to relate to this, where, you know, with like an Instagram photo, you take a photo and then you use a filter of some kind. I think that a guitar is kind of like a photo and the pickups are kind of like the filter. Like you find the right combination to make it really punch, and some work better with others. Because you're not going to change, like I have two SGs that sound totally different. And you can feel it in like the weight of the wood and the size of the neck, and the pickups would sound, you know, the same set of pickups would sound very different in what's essentially, you know, the same guitar. So, so it's really finding the right, you know, I'm pretty lucky to have a nice gear collection and obviously a very nice extensive set of pickups that I can, pick and choose with. But, you know, you can't change the sound of a guitar. So you have to just find what works best with it.
Yeah, it's kind of enhancing it. It's like the microphone for whatever platform it is. And really, like, I think for us, as we've developed different models and things like that, we're really trying to meet those needs. And I've gone as far as telling people who are convinced they want one set, I've gone as far as saying, no, you don't need that set. You need this. And so it's really like it is trying to kind of listen to what they say about their guitar, where they're trying to go with the sound. And it's, I mean, in your case too, it's like, I don't know very many people with that many SGs that, you know, that just, yeah, just have different SGs and how.
Right. Everyone should have this many SGs.
I know. We all wish we could, but.
Not all of us are rock stars, Jack.
Yeah. Oh, you guys. Flattery will get you everywhere with me.
Yeah. Well, It's interesting. I mean, I'm glad that you brought that up and how each guitar has a different voice, because it is true. Well, people kind
of. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying people kind of think that, you know, electrics are electrics and there's really nothing different between each one, but really there is. And, you know, we've had so many guitars through the shop, whether it's repairs or local installs or just our own demo guitars, and just finding that balance, finding that right voice for each one. It's amazing. We've, you know, Derek's got a Jazzmaster and we've put almost every set of our Jazzmaster pickups in him, and we like certain ones a little better for his Jazzmaster than the others, but we've used the same Jazzmaster for different sound clips and we've kind of.
Is he one of those offset guys?
I don't know that he's an offset guy.
Somewhere in between. I have a Jazzmaster, a Telecaster, and a Gretsch Country Classic Junior, so I feel like I stretched the span a little bit.
Yeah, and he's
a lot of sonic territory.
Yeah,
and he's not necessarily an offset guy, because we use the guitar for the business, so it's not like it's not like he's always.
So many listeners hate me all of a sudden for saying that.
Right, you just offended the entire hipster community.
And subscribers from that. No, but it's funny. I was actually nervous to tell you this, believe it or not, Brian, because, you know, of course, I post a lot of my guitars and things, and, you know, I tag you in ones, you know, guitars that I have your pickups in. And I was kind of nervous to tell you this. This was like a month or two ago. But, you know, I have your Smooth and Classic humbucker set, and I had them in a Les Paul, and I want to put them in a different guitar. And it was kind of that same, I think those are awesome pickups, but I just didn't think they were the right fit for that particular guitar. And again, you know, of course, Les Pauls can sound completely different from one to the next, depending on, you know, whether they're weight relieved or what the finish is and all this. And I was actually nervous to tell you, cause I, you know, you'd of course know, because I post about all these, but I was like, he's going to think I hate his pickups and da, 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 da. And I was very relieved that you got it, that you're kind of on the same page with that, that, there, you know, it's like people, you know, it's like meeting your mate.
Yeah. It's funny with that stuff. Cause even there's some shop guitars that we've put sets in and we've left them and we don't want to touch the shop guitar because, you know, we put some mini humbuckers in one of our Sublime guitars and it just, yeah, it's like a magic combination. And I really don't want to put P90s back in that specific guitar because it just sounds right.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's it. When it sounds, it's if it's not broke, don't fix it. But you know, because it is nice when you find that, like, that perfect combination. That, and that's, I think, kind of what ended up happening with those sets that I mentioned, like, you know, the clear humbuckers in that SG. There's something about them, that setup, that just works. And I don't know what the rhyme or reason to it is. You know, I could put the clears in another guitar and they might not sound, you know, of course they'd sound good because they're high. It's a high quality item that you produce, Brian. I don't, you know, when it just works, you just go with it and it can surprise you.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on just a little bit to kind of, you know, after you've done so many demos and that kind of stuff, everybody's got a little bit of a different way of showing products and showing kind of the features and details about them. What are some of the ways that you found that you feel like just really help communicate the features of whatever you're demoing?
That's something that I've gone back and forth with. And one of the things that I'm going to go slightly broader than what you're asking, but try and answer the same question at the same time. One of the things that I've always come back to is that in order to make any kind of a good video, whether it's a guitar demo or something else, you know, involving music, you need to make something that's engaging, good quality content that people want to come back to. And some of my favorite demos that I've listened to weren't all that comprehensive. They didn't show, you know, but then sometimes I think back and go, okay, it's an overdrive, you know, so let's say you're doing an overdrive. I don't need to hear how it acts as a clean boost all the time. I know it'll act as a clean boost. It's an overdrive. You turn the gain back, you do your thing. So I want to hear more what makes it special, and I want to hear that in an entertaining way. Entertaining makes it sound kind of shallow, but I want to hear it in a way that resonates with me, that makes me want to – you know, there's some demos that I've watched multiple times just because I enjoyed the performance of it, you know, let alone the gear that it was demoing. And, you know, when you do a video demo, it is a music performance. It's not just, you know, it's not just a commercial. It's, you know, for me, it's a chance to play guitar for people, which is what I love doing. So what I've tried to do is when I, you know, when I do a video, the thing I always open with is whatever it is that's most special about the piece of gear. Like whatever it is that I think is just the best sound that that piece of gear can produce, and just come out swinging with however I think it sounds the best. Because people also, you know, with the amount of content that there is out there, people tend to have short attention spans. So you have to grab them early. Like, do you guys like videos that start with 5 minutes of talking?
Yeah, I can't stand them. I mean, it depends on what it is. Like, if you already want it and you're doing the further research, then you'll sit through that, especially if it's a big purchase or something like that. But yeah, I agree with you on that.
But I mean, even in that case, I'd rather have the talking be later on, you know, because like when I click on a video, I want to hear what it sounds like. The one exception to that would be guitarist does a pretty good job and they start with talking. But I think any of these, for if there's anybody out there who are doing, you know, gear demos or, you know, trying to work out their own thing or just guitar videos, like it just needs to be engaging. It needs to be something that grabs you. And, you know, something else that I started doing, believe it or not, is because I used to do very, you know, straightforward run throughs of settings, and I wasn't feeling excited about it. I actually started sometimes when I would run out of like just riffs that I was trying to come up with, I'd start playing my own songs in some of the demos, and that I found made the demos a lot better because I was playing them more passionately, because it's music that I care about, you know, it's music that I actually wrote and it's well within the realm of the gear that I'm demoing. So you just have to find ways to make it, you know, people can spot it when you're, I have had to demo some things that I certainly weren't bad, but were not in my realm. And there were some things that I struggled with because it was just like so not me. And it was something that I had a hard time stepping out of myself to do. And I don't think those demos were very good because it just, you know, people can spot it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Just kind of as you like. You know, we get to try some gear, but, you know, you've obviously, like, cycled through quite a bit of different things, and I'm sure that, you know, you definitely, like, some things probably inspire you pretty quickly, and some things maybe not. I did want to ask you a question. Derek and I were talking after show number 7, and for those of you, we already mentioned this, but Jack recorded our intro music, and what pickups did you use on that first before I get to the question?
You know what's funny? That was the Smooth and Classic set in the Les Paul.
Nice. Yeah. The one you were just bashing on. That's, I mean.
Oh, Brian.
I'm just kidding. So the question that we have for you, And I don't know why we're even asking you this, because we may do it anyways, depending on your response. But we're thinking about, just Derek and I were thinking about, you were joking after show 7 about recording an acoustic version of your intro song, just to kind of mix it up one day and just kind of have some fun, you know, with the intro song and maybe throw some lyrics on there. I don't know. We're exploring the ideas, but we wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that as the guy that recorded that for us. Is that okay if we butcher it?
If you want to, that is actually an original song, believe it or not. Remember I was just telling you about doing songs and demos?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is we need to pay some copyrights.
Oh, and you guys can't afford me. Yeah.
That's right. Well, maybe the podcast exposure that you'll get.
If you want to, if you guys want to do something with that, be my guest. That would be totally fine.
All right. Well, we just kind of had this moment of inspiration, and we're trying to decide if we should take it somewhere. So it's kind of one of those.
That's kind of stepping out of your, because I'm sure you guys are obviously being guitar players or acoustic players, but that's pretty different because you do not make acoustic pickups.
So. No, it would just be more of a, you know, kind of expanding our creative, our talents, you know, trying to, sure. You know, in case this pickup thing doesn't work out, we have a chance to maybe
probably go on the road. You know, just
sure. Oh yeah, I hear you.
Get some coffee house gigs with Jack Fawcett. Do you have a name for that song? Because we should probably give you credit for the name somewhere.
You don't have to. That I wasn't trying to defraud you guys by sneaking my music in there.
No, that's fine. We like it. It works.
When you needed the song, I needed this kind of that same, I need to do something that I actually care about. That song is called My Rebecca, and it was actually the title track of my third CD.
Very cool.
And that's another one. Like I said, I just did a big, I just did an Epiphone Archtop shootout demo. And I did that song for the intro of that video too. And just again, because like when you want to grab people early on, you got to do something that you got to do something that you have to light the fire of your soul, Brian.
There's the actor coming out in you. I hear it. Yeah,
I'm an award-winning comedic actor, and that's not a lie.
That's great.
I gave the award to myself. Don't worry, it was first place.
I'm glad to see you're fair, at least.
Yeah, well.
Well, where do you kind of see the gear industry going from where it is right now? Are you seeing some trends peak up or anything like that in the last year or so as you've been doing this?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. One of the trends that there are definitely trendsetters. And one of the things that I've kind of seen is it's always goes back to creating something that people – that's sort of there are some things that have kind of a sexy factor to them that it might make you want a piece of gear that you otherwise wouldn't want just because it's so cool. And I think – I don't know what the answer is. I don't know that I could say, oh, yeah, just do this and you'll be successful. But, you know, you see like one of the things I've seen lately in pedals is it seems like all of a sudden we're starting to see a bubble up in clean boosts that are based on Stevie Ray Vaughan's Dumble, not the Dumble Overdrive, but the Steel Stringer, his clean sound. And there's several companies that are making like boost pedals based on the Dumble clean. And you know what? I know one is the J Rocket Lenny. And like for me, now I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. He's always been, you know, I mean, who doesn't love Stevie Ray Vaughan? But I don't necessarily aspire to get his sound. I'm not in any way insulting his sound. It's just, it's not what I, you know, for my own personal music use. And there are, you know, there are plenty of people in the blues world, I think who use something similar. So, but they have a pedal that's, I think based on that called the Lenny, and it's got a picture of his hat on it. Now that all of a sudden, like I see that and I'm like, oh man, I love that song. I need that pedal. And it's a sound that I might not even necessarily use, but it's just like when I see that, it immediately takes me to a place, to a song that I love, to a tone that I love. And I think that's as long as people are able to, you know, create gear that in some way connects people with their heroes. I mean, guitar, I'm always amazed at how the guitar world is so based on what your heroes used. I mean,
yeah,
probably the vast majority of guitars that I own, having a vast knowledge of guitar gear out there, or, you know, semi-vast, I should say. That sounded kind of arrogant. Sorry, folks. So much of the gear that I play comes back to being a fan of Clapton and Knopfler.
Yeah.
If I were completely objective, I might not play any of the stuff that I play, but I love those guys. I love the way they look on stage with their gear, and I want to look like them.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's funny the trend stuff, just because you know, we're in the industry in different ways, you know, with you trying stuff and we're building stuff, and we obviously observe what other companies are doing, and it is really interesting to see, you know, how that works. And hopefully, you know, as all these rock stars get older and pass, you know, that there's new guys coming up and there's new, you know, new inspirations and things like that, because I do think that, you know, at some point, hopefully, you know, people want to get outside of those boxes and be a little more creative, or develop sure. a new tone or a new sound. And so anything like that, I think, is cool as you're, you know, out there exploring new things.
Well, you know, it's funny because we were just, you know, I was joking about the offsets earlier, but I think the offsets are a great example, because the whole generation of musicians who have made the offset kind of come back, when they picked them up and were starting to use them, they were getting them because no one wanted them and they were dirt cheap.
Yeah.
You know, it's and then these guys created all these new sounds, and then they became heroes, and then a whole new generation wanted those. It's like Clapton. You know, I read stories about Clapton when he got into Stratocasters, that, you know, he would buy like 10 of them at a time because they couldn't give them away. And, you know, then of course, you know, he and Hendrix start playing them, and they, now it's like, now it's iconic beyond music. Now it's like a symbol of Americana. And so I think it really always comes back to people who make great music using gear, and, you know, everybody else kind of wants to aspire to be like them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we definitely should have you on again and continue some of the conversation. I think a lot of people are interested in kind of hearing the behind the scenes of the setup. Appreciate you coming on. I would like sure. you to give you a chance to kind of let people know how to find you, find your sure. YouTube channel, or find more about your music. Go ahead and let people know about that.
Sure. If you believe it or not, I have cornered the market on the name Jack Fawcett. So if you do a Google search for me, it will come up. But if you know, if you just look me up on YouTube, it's JACKFOSSETT. I'm on YouTube, Instagram. I have a webpage, and, you know, I do my very, very best to regularly post interesting things that's, you know, that's engaging to people. So, and I do, for anybody who does follow me, I actually want to take a quick moment and also say thank you, because, believe it or not, I'm actually now, being a guitar player full time. And to have people follow and support, is literally making a dream come true. And having been someone who spent a lot of years putting a lot of hard work into music and not having it pay off for a long time, I will never take for granted the people who support and follow. And I'll always try and keep making good content for them that keeps them engaged and gives them a reason to come back.
Yeah, very cool. We definitely appreciate your help with the pickup demos and podcast intros and the things like that, and you know, hopefully we'll run into each other at some point throughout.
Don't forget my brilliant thoughts on life that I give you on Facebook chats every day, Brian.
Yes, I haven't forgot those.
Man, I'm still processing.
Yeah, you do, Derek. I need to try to relay those to Derek. Maybe you can offer like a side advice for Derek through our conversations.
I think I'm going to just write a book, because I'm really deep.
I think you are too. Yeah, you should write a book. And
I will,
but you have to let us come up with the title for the book.
That might be a deal breaker.
We don't want any royalties. We just
I'm going to be rich and famous, but I guess I won't anymore.
How do you know? You don't trust us. You don't think that our title would be worth worth what you write?
I don't know, Ryan. You can be surly sometimes.
Surly.
Surly.
It's a term I'm not sure anyone will totally understand.
You know what's funny is, believe it or not, my college degree is actually in writing, and I so rarely get to use it.
Can just consider yourself a modern-day writer with video words.
Yeah. You write with your guitar. Your guitar speaks. Ooh, there
it is. I like that. I like that. I'm a poet, and I don't even realize that I am one.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thanks, man. It was so much fun to chat with you today, and we will definitely catch up with you again sometime, and we'll also put some links to your YouTube information on our podcast extra page. Sweet. So that way that way people can find that quickly. And
they can see all the awesome Porter pickup demos.
They can, of course, which are actually scattered throughout our site pretty well. So maybe we'll feature a couple of those, you know, as another aside on our podcast extra. So again, thanks, Jack, and appreciate having you on today.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you all so much for listening to the podcast. Hope you have a great end of 2016, and we'll see you again. Our next podcast will be in 2017. That's so exciting. We're going to be having Lance from Gear Talk on show number 9. It's also going to be a great podcast because it's going to be the first of us podcasting every week, which is just going to be an absolute blast. So if you haven't already, please subscribe to us on iTunes and check out our podcast page at porterpickups.com. It's under the community tab. You can go there, listen to any of the old ones, see some of the extras we've got for different podcasts, as well as be able to leave a comment or question. We would just absolutely love and encourage you guys to be engaged with this. We'd love to see your questions. We would love to just be engaging with you a little more on that. Also, check us out on Facebook, the Porter Pickups Tone Community. So until next year, thanks a lot.